Hello, everybody. Welcome to or welcome back to Remix Reality Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Tombe, and welcome to episode 12. Today is all about spring cleaning, but not the spring cleaning that you're thinking of, because I actually did that yesterday. I still have to clean my, like, downstairs of my house before I leave for break, but my room is looking spotless. She's looking cute. My diffuser was on. Everything's looking good. My room's very scrumptious looking. I vacuumed. I was gonna say that I clean my sheets. I clean my sheets very often, like literally like every week when I do my laundry. And I watched a video because I realized I don't actually know how to put my duvet cover on. Like, I just kind of like throw it in there and like pray that it like doesn't like fold on itself. But like, guys, did I watch this TikTok of a lady putting her duvet cover on, and I'm now mind blown. Like, the little strings that are on the end are there for a reason. Who would have thought, right? Who would have thought? I was like, why is there a string? Like, I probably would have cut it if I didn't see that video, but thank you to that sweet lady who showed me how to. It's honestly complicated, and it did take me like 10 minutes to do, but it's better because now my blanket isn't lumpy, so I appreciate that. Anyways, we're not talking about physical spring cleaning. We're talking about mental spring cleaning. We're talking about ins and outs before we enter. I think it's really important to do a quarter reflection. Literally for me, I'm on the quarter system, so the quarter ends this week, and so this is actually a quarter reflection for me, but also just taking a second and realizing that we're part of the way through the year. We're a fourth of the way through the year. And how are we doing? How did our goals that we set for ourselves in January looking, right? How are we doing mentally, right? How are we doing with setting boundaries with people? Good question. All those different things is what we're going to be considering today with our spring cleaning. Because I would argue that it's just as important, if not more important, to make sure that you are mentally okay and mentally clean and all those different things. Just as important as it is for a physical space to be clean. Because you are important and you are valuable and you deserve the same maintenance and care, if not more, that you give your house, your car, whatever the case is. So I hope you enjoy this episode of spring cleaning. I say this every single week and we will see. I usually say it's going to be a short episode, but I'm confident about today's episode being short. We will see, actually. I don't know. I have a lot of notes. Anyways, so we're going to start with some ins and outs, at least for me, things that I'm leaving behind in this quarter of the year and really stepping into spring and into summer. Guys, the rest of the year, I feel like it's going to fly by and I need it to pause. I know what the year just started. It's really March, but I truly, truly feel that like once we get through spring, like it's just going to fly by and it's going to be summer and then it's going to be fall as the seasons go. And then it's going to be winter and the year's going to be over and I'm going to be like, what? That's crazy. I don't even want to think about it too much because it makes me a little bit ill to think about that, like all the things are happening this year, right? I'm over halfway done with my second year of college. Crazy. Insane. We have one more quarter left, so 11 weeks after vacation and all that stuff. And I'm just like, whoa, time's really going by. It's really going by real quick. But anyways, here are some things that I'm not taking with me into this new quarter and things that I really think I need to work on because it's brutal out here. And I hope you can resonate with some things. I would say, one, I overloaded myself a lot in the beginning of the school year. And then obviously when you overload yourself, you're going to drop a couple things. I definitely dropped a couple of things that I realized what my priorities were and what they weren't. And so I think I was stretching myself too thin and I wasn't prioritizing rest or balance. So that's why everything was out of whack. And then I was burnt out and I was tired and I was upset all the time. And I was just not in a good place mentally. And then I realized, hey, girl, chill out. You don't need to be juggling 60 things at one time. It's completely okay to say no. And that's one thing, an additional thing that I need to bring with me into this new quarter. So I'm leaving behind overloading myself in this quarter of the year. Second, I doubt myself all the time. All the time. I think, whether it's picking what photo I want to post on my Instagram story, I'm sorry to my friends, whether it's how to respond to a text message. Yeah, I think I just don't trust my gut and I know I need to. I just need to trust myself and like go with the flow and like all these different things. But I am so scared of saying the wrong thing or like doing the wrong thing that I like am constantly just seeking approval from other people. Specifically in terms of like socially, like I think that's something that I have a really hard time with. And so that is something that I need to work on. Okay. I think there's moments in which I was super worried about my grades and my goals. I'll just say this in particular. I don't know if I talked about this in a podcast episode. Probably not, because I think this is kind of embarrassing to admit. But I literally almost failed math last quarter. And which is funny because I'm doing amazing now. Who would have thought? But I passed. I ended up passing. But I was like, if I fail math, my whole plan falls apart for everything. I was like, if I fail math, I can't study abroad in fall. And then it pushes everything back. And then if I can study abroad in fall, then I'm not gonna... All of that. Just too much stress and pressure on myself just for things to work out in the end. I doubted myself. I knew that I was capable. I knew that I could pull through. And I think it's because I consistently put in the work. So I need to trust myself more. And I think a lot of us could relate to the idea of just lacking trust and confidence in ourselves when it comes to the things that we do. Whether it's the daily tasks or whatever the thing is, I think we've relied so heavily on technology or social media to help us figure things out that we can literally figure out ourselves. Okay, next. I think I procrastinate on things that are hard all the time, right? For example, I should have went to the office hours last quarter. I didn't. What? No wonder you're failing. You didn't ask for help. You didn't ask for help ever. Oh, actually, I take that back. My TA was helpful sometimes, but he also like, I don't even know how to explain. He was a good TA, but he was also the type of TA that, like, if you asked him a question, he would make you feel like you're stupid. I don't know how to explain how those things can coexist, but they do. And I just will like to prolong things because I'm like, I don't even think asking, oh, I was going to say, I don't think asking for help is hard. That's the lie it is. So I think it shows that you're human and it shows that you're vulnerable. And that's something that a lot of us don't want to show, right? So I have to stop and ask for help and ask this person, or I basically have to admit my shortcomings when you're asking for help. And that's why I'm like, oh, I don't really want to do that. And so I think, especially on hard things, whether it's socially hard, academically hard, spiritually hard, whatever the case is, whether it's like, you know, that you need to like start this journey of like healing from this past trauma or whatever the case is, you know that this is going to be mentally hard for you. And you know that it's going to be mentally exhausting and it's going to require you to take a step back into that. But I think you deserve to do that for yourself. And so I will leave behind procrastinating on hard things because sometimes hard things take time and that's okay. But anyways, on the similar thing, I said not asking for help sooner. I should have done it. There are many things that I think I just continued to put off. And I could have honestly saved myself so many tears, so much stress, and all those different things if I would have just asked for help sooner. I think asking for help just shows that you're human, okay? So I need to put on that one in two separate categories, but I think procrastinating on hard things and asking for help sooner kind of go hand in hand. Additionally, I would say we need to leave behind being too hard on ourselves. I think we all set such high standards for ourselves, which is good, right? I think you should have high standards in everything in life. However, you deserve to celebrate like the progress and strides that you're making towards those goals. And I think when we place those rigid, you know, standards on ourselves, it honestly makes you not want to appreciate where you're at in life at the moment. And I think that's something that robs our joy. And yeah. Now, this next section is mainly socially, because I think there's a lot of things that I need to work on when it comes to my social interactions with people. I think a lot of those are academic based or like more personal. But I think socially, I think every single one of us are so guilty of overthinking social interactions. There's things that I've said my senior year of high school that I still have nightmares about. And it's nothing crazy, but I don't even want to say nightmares, but I still like, I'm woken up in the middle of the night. And I remember I said that. That's so bad. Okay. It was never that serious. I'm sure nobody remembers. There are things that I've said. There's just awkward interactions or awkward pauses and moments that I've had the past few months that I constantly replay in my head over and over and over again. And I think I always stress myself out with saying the right things. I think also like I'm involved in a lot of like clubs and things like that on campus. And it's so hard to constantly feel like you have to say the right thing. And I think also this whole idea of like switching, right? If I'm in different scenarios, if I'm working with our like student body, or if I'm working with a mentorship program, my vocabulary, the way that I'm talking, like my personality, the way I present myself will be different, right? Obviously, if I'm in, which I'm in both, if I'm in my, you know, student leadership group, it's more professional, right? We're all supposed to be professional and all this stuff. If I'm with my mentorship group, it's more like a family,
right? We're a lot more chill. We're a lot more calm, and therefore my vocabulary. But I think oftentimes when you're in multiple groups like that, it's really easy to accidentally slip one thing into another group, or like one part of your personality into the group that you didn't mean to. And I think that always gets tricky. So I will say, I just need to calm down. And it's okay. I think you're going to say the wrong things multiple times. And I think you're probably going to be the only one who remembers it. And so breathe and allow yourself to say the wrong thing sometimes and learn from it and grow from it. But I don't even think it's really, unless you're saying something that's harmful, I don't think there's necessarily a wrong thing. This made me think of, I thought of this yesterday, but I was in class last week for my last class of what has been my favorite class so far at the school. And it's like a class about 30 people. It's an upper division political science class and also a writing class. And there was this girl who, we were having a conversation about something, and she had said something that was like, problematic, right? Like, it was problematic, but it wasn't to the extent in which, like, you need to leave. Like, you know, like, I'm sorry. Like, it wasn't to that extent, but it was like, it was pretty problematic. Like, I didn't necessarily agree with what she said, but obviously the whole purpose of the class is to have hard conversations with people who we do not necessarily agree with, right? It's an ethics class. And so that's the basis of what we're trying to be doing. So if somebody says something wrong, quote unquote, or problematic, like, the whole point is you're supposed to have a discussion about it. Like, we're supposed to talk about this. And the girl had said something that was wrong. Well, in, you know, opinion, but okay. And somebody had responded, raised their hand to respond. And she took them responding and be like, oh, I don't necessarily agree with that because, or I think that that mindset can be harmful because, and all this stuff, and was not attacking the person at all. The person who responded to her was very kind, very courageous, a lot nicer than I think a lot of other people in the class would have been in responding to what she said. And she immediately cut the girl off, was like, you see, this is why I don't even like to talk in classes, because people want to think that I'm this terrible person. Like, she had a whole little meltdown in that moment saying that this happened in one of her other class. She said something and she never talked again in that class because people told her that she was, and I'm just like a little bit shocked, right? Because I'm like, she was obviously worried about saying the wrong things, and she did, okay. And nobody, like, punished her or, like, pointed a finger at her in that moment. Like, they talked about her idea. They didn't talk about her. And that's the one thing I really liked about that class is people's ability to maintain, like, respectful conversations even when people are saying stuff that you do not agree with at all. And she was like, and people want to point fingers and think I'm a terrible person or think I'm a... Pause. I'm sorry. I live right by, like, there's an obstacle course right by my house, and people are just casually ziplining on a Monday during finals week. I wish I was living that life. Good for you. Okay, anyways, I'm sorry. I just looked out my window, and there's, like, a person about to... Anyways, yeah, but she's like, people want to think that I'm a terrible person, and this, that, and third, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like this girl has this very intense fear and now has this anxiety surrounding saying the wrong thing because of that interaction that she had in her class. And although I didn't agree with what she said, I could definitely sympathize with this whole idea of, like, being so scared to speak because you don't want to say the wrong things. But I think in life you learn by saying the wrong things. And I think sometimes it sucks because saying the wrong things could put you in really dangerous situations. But I think that wasn't an example of that. I think this was a very low stakes thing. I think saying the wrong thing in class isn't going to be the end of the world. Yeah, you might be uncomfortable for the rest of the year, but thankfully it was our last class, you know? But anyways, that was a very long-winded explanation of, I don't think that saying the wrong thing is always terrible. Yes. Okay. I think another thing that I am leaving behind is keeping myself too busy for my social life. It's going to be a brutal quarter, just looking forward. I'm excited, but I am taking on a lot more than I usually do. And thinking about that and thinking about how this quarter was good. Like, I loved the classes that I had. And because of that, I wasn't, like, stressed out 24/7, like, not sleeping and stuff. But I'm saying this to say, next quarter, I'm taking, like, more classes than I usually do. And I'm, like, doing research and stuff like that. And so I'm like, okay, like, looking ahead, I didn't prioritize social time with my friends that much last quarter. What is that going to look like this upcoming quarter? Because I need to stop being too busy for social time. Because I think a good chunk of why you're in college, in my opinion, is for that social aspect and to connect with people on that different level that you don't really get elsewhere, in my opinion. I think that you are in college for a lot more than just your degree. And I think you should utilize each and every aspect of college and your campus and the different resources and stuff like that that you have there. But that's just a little side note. Tangent. I would also say, I just need to reprioritize my time, and I need to sit down and create a detailed schedule of what my quarter is going to look like, because I do want to prioritize time. This is potentially what is my last quarter with my friends before I leave for a little bit. And thinking about that is making me a little bit sad. But I know that the next 10 weeks are going to be fun. It's going to be what I put into it. So that requires a lot of energy. That might require, you know, kind of adjusting my schedule a little bit to see when I'm going to be studying and when I'm going to be with my friends or when I'm going to be doing things for my clubs, like stuff like that. And so I'm just looking ahead to next year and this quarter and very excited. But I think I really want to start creating those good mindsets and good habits now, because I know that as time goes on, it's going to get a little bit harder. And so going into spring, I really want to create a good balance between social life and school. Because also, I'm going to be a lawyer. Like, a lot of people say that's one of the biggest things and challenges is being able to manage your social life and everything like that. And so start now, because who knows what it's going to look like in the future. You're probably just going to keep getting busy. Anyways, I think I also had this tendency to feel like I was out of place a lot of times. And I think I just need to remind myself that I belong in the spaces that I'm given the opportunity to be in. Even like opportunities that I've recently gotten, like being like, why me? Like being so confused, being grateful, but honestly kind of doubting myself and my ability to get those positions or be in those spaces. But I think that I belong in any space that I step into. I think if I wasn't meant to be in there, I wouldn't be there. I think I've proven to myself and I've earned the positions that I have. And so I think just reminding myself that is like, you deserve good things in life. And that is something that I, for whatever reason, did not bring with me into this new year. And so I'm thinking about that. And then I would also say setting boundaries is another thing. Specifically, I would say in like work and academics and like extracurriculars, I think it's really, really easy to say yes, 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 yes. For one of my teachers, I love her. She's the best. I like loved her class so much. I was like, oh my gosh, let me take on additional work and help her. What do you need to be doing that for? Okay, I'm now working with her in a different capacity next quarter, and I'm really excited about it. But I had no, but thank God I didn't end up doing it, but I had no business like doing these extra credit assignments. My grade didn't need the extra credit, and I pray it stays that way. I have one more assignment going into the grade, but please God, anyways. My grade didn't need the extra boost, to be so honest, but I just wanted to do stuff. I just wanted to keep myself busy. I didn't want to set that boundary of, no, probably not a good idea. You're doing a lot for this class anyway. There's no need for you to be piling on 60 additional assignments. And I wish I listened to myself in that, and I didn't. So I would just say setting boundaries specifically in academics, but also socially. You don't need to be hanging out with people 24/7. You don't. A lot of things are good to do alone. I think I find more peace when I, with the exception of going to Costco, I love grocery shopping by myself. At Costco, I feel like you have to have a buddy. You got it. Because that store is huge. Like, humongous. So, when we go to Costco, me and my friend, Johnny, she's my Costco buddy, and we go together. It's great. Lastly, in this section, I would say reminding myself that rejection is redirection. And I say particularly in academics and in, like, your job market, whether, like, you didn't get the job that you wanted, or you didn't get the promotion that you wanted, or you didn't get into that class that you really wanted to get into, or even, like, in relationships or friendships. Like, I think our life is unfortunately filled with so much rejection, but I don't even want to say unfortunately, because I think rejection just means that that area or whatever was not meant for you, or at least not right now. And so I think there's so many things in my life, at least within the past few months, that I'm like, oh, that sucks. I didn't get that job, or that sucks for whatever reason. But then realizing that, like, no, it's because there's something greater and there's something that's meant for me out there. And so kind of approaching, you know, getting rejected with that mindset, I think will help you a lot. I think it's one of my favorite sayings, and so I will probably do a podcast episode in the near future just unpacking that a little bit and talking about my experiences with rejection, if I'm up to it. We will see. And I just would say it's something to not even just remember going into the spring season and all that stuff, but I think 24/7, constantly thinking about that. But on that note, I know it's March, and I know this is when a lot of college application decisions come back. And so for any incoming college student or somebody who's going back to school or somebody who's trying to transfer, I just want to say this, because I think this is something that saved me so many tears, so much heartache, all that stuff when it came to college application season. I think I understood that, like, regardless of what school that I'm going to go to, like, I feel like I will find a place and I will feel at home. It might take effort, might take time, it might take all these different things, but I truly believe that, like, wherever I'm meant to go, like, I will end up there. whether I transfer in 2 years or whatever the case is, like, I truly just had this mindset that only doors that were meant for me to walk through will open. And so specifically when it came to my heartbreak surrounding schools that I didn't get into, I really just realized I wasn't meant to go there. That wasn't my place. My people aren't there. And I think on being on the flip side of that, now being a second year in college, like, understanding that, like, I'm so grateful for the place that I'm at, and I don't know what my life would have looked like if I chose even a different school. I've talked about this, but it was between, like, San Diego State, UCI, and Cal Poly for me, and I'm glad I picked here. Like, I think this is where I'm meant to be. I think I've met so many amazing people, and to think, like, I don't know what my life would look like if it wasn't for the people that I have surrounding me. But truly believing that I would have found that in many different colleges. Like, I feel like I would have found my people. So not to put too much pressure on yourself. Obviously, where you go to college does matter. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. But I think trusting yourself and trusting your support system in the process, when you're getting those decisions back, don't look at it as a reflection of you, right? A rejection is not that you're a rejection. I think it just means that it's not your place. It's not your area. And it sucks when something that you've wanted so bad doesn't want you. And I think that applies for so much. But I think you have skills and expertise in many different things to bring to college, right? I think many different things when it comes to college applications and stuff like that, we have this mindset that college is giving something to us. Like, you are an asset to them. That's why they pick you. That's why they handpick who they want at their college, because they believe that you have a future that is right for them. Maybe who you are and what you bring to the table is just not a skill set that they're needing at the moment, but don't think that that means that you're less in at all. Your grades, your GPA, all those different things do not define you, your extracurriculars. But I am really praying for you guys, and I hope that during this season you're really kind to yourself and that you're just taking time to do the things that you love, and really, 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 and especially if you're in high school, enjoy this last semester of high school. I know senioritis is real, but please go to class. Please go to class, because these are the moments in which everybody becomes friends with each other randomly, and everybody's really kind, and it's really cute, and you're like, why couldn't we be like this for the past 4 years? Like, just allow yourself to enjoy the last semester of high school. If you're in community college, allow yourself to enjoy that. Whatever you're doing, enjoy where you're at right now, because you will be in some place very, very different in a few months, and you're gonna miss where you're at right now. There were times last year where I missed being in high school. Now I don't, but there were times last year when I did, and I'm so grateful for where I'm at now. But anyways, that is what I'm going to do in this upcoming season and for the rest of my life, remembering that rejection is redirection. All right. Okay. Now here's some more. I think feeling like I need to please everybody. Of course I'm stretching myself too thin, because I think that I owe everybody something. You don't, right? And so into the spring, I'm realizing I'm really just trying to prioritize myself. I'm really trying to prioritize myself and understand that I am worthy of my time, my energy, all these different things. And I think you have to put yourself first. I gotta put me first. Let's see how many times I quote different shows in this episode. Anyways, honestly, I think a main thing is, like, prioritize relationships that align with your values, very important, and energy. We had this conversation in class. I need to pause because it was good. I think I might have taken a picture of the chat. Hold on. Oh, okay. Somebody was saying something about how when you're in a relationship with somebody or a friendship or whatever the case is, like, people often force, like, one person typically has to adapt to another person's lifestyle. Like, that's typically what we see happen. But how, like, finding person that you will adapt with, like, you guys will adapt with each other, or, like, you guys fit each other's life, is, like, they were saying that was, like, their relationship advice or whatever. And I was really thinking about that. I was like, wow, like, I think that same thing, like, applies to friendships. Like, I think oftentimes we kind of, like, give ourselves different positions in different friendships and stuff like that, or different relationships. And it's like, you don't have to sit in the back seat while this person lives their life. Like, you are able to do the same. And if you're with somebody who doesn't encourage you to live your life and accomplish your dreams and, you know, do all those different things, then you're not with the right person. Anyways, with love. Mwah. Also, I'm sorry, I was looking at this. How are you guys doing? Like, genuinely, let me know, text me, how are you doing? Because it's spring, you know, out with the old, in with the new. It can be difficult, I understand. Okay. On that same note, keeping one-sided friendships is not something we're going to be doing. Thankfully, I weeded those out in the beginning of January, so I don't really have many. So I'm really excited that I actually, that's a lie. One thing I did do in the beginning of this year is I realized that I just had this idea that I have to continue to please other people. And so I was like, I want to be nice to everybody and I want to do all these different things. And I think kindness is great. However, I found myself wanting to like, or feeling obligated to, I shouldn't say that, that's going to get me in trouble, but feeling obligated to continue to be kind to people who just haven't done the same thing to me. And I think kindness is great, but I realize that I can also put that boundary of like, I just don't need to really engage with you at all. And I'm not just going to let you right back into my life for fun, right? And so I would say I don't really have any one-sided friendships because I realize that's exhausting. But I did have to reset some boundaries and kind of check myself, finding myself wanting to fall into the default of like, let me just text them. Let me just, you know, wish them a happy new year. No. Yeah. Okay. One thing that I'm really proud of myself that I started doing this year is I think I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with having difficult conversations. There was something that I was struggling with and I was like, I don't really know who I should go to about this. But then I realized I had amazing resources and I started and I initiated that conversation, but I also am having tough conversations with myself. So there's one thing about looking at yourself in the mirror or journaling or whatever the case is and just telling yourself the truth. Like realizing that you have this really bad habit and it's probably rooted in this, let's unpack this. Or having hard conversations with your therapist or having hard conversations with your mentor, whatever the case is, all very important things. But I think I've gotten a lot better at it because I realize my temporary discomfort will not outlast the breakthrough that can happen on the other side of that conversation. And so I no longer avoid difficult conversations and hopefully I have some difficult conversations coming up in spring. So let's hope that, you know, I keep that mentality with me. I think especially one thing that's hard is expressing your needs. Like, I think it's very, very hard to express what you need because you feel needy, right? Duh. And it's something that we're very, very afraid of. At least I am. And I think I'm really good about setting boundaries. And like, if there's a conflict, I'm also pretty good about addressing conflict as well. But I think I just get uncomfortable when I'm expressing my needs and I think I shouldn't. And so I'm working on that. And if you have tips, let me know, right? This is a collaboration. You see, I don't have all the answers. So if you are really good about being able to express your needs to people, let me know because I need help. Thank you. Okay. I think one thing that we're not doing, we're not staying in spaces that drain us this spring, right? We are leaving. We are exiting. If you are drained, whether it's friendships, situations, relationships, work, I know you can't just quit. So let me be so real. In school drains me. Work drains me. I can't just quit. So I need to find a good balance, right? I think in spaces that I can leave, I will leave. If I don't need it, if it, like I told you, I left a couple spaces earlier this year, if it wasn't benefiting me or I wasn't getting as much out of it as I was getting taken out of me. I just think setting boundaries is very important in that. I think especially in friend groups or social circles or clubs or whatever the case is, like things that no longer serve you or align with who you are, because we are constantly evolving and changing, I think are things that we can let go. And I will be letting go this spring cleaning, out with the old and with the new. All right, next, I think I sometimes overcommit socially, not in the sense that I am with so many people, but I think I'm with a few people, but they're across different groups. And I think that's good. I think there's really, there's beauty and diversity in terms of like, okay, this friend is from this organization, this friend is from this. But then sometimes when the groups get mixed, it just gets real messy. And I think finding a balance and not saying yes to everything or every invite, which I've, let me tell you, saved so much money, so much peace. You don't have to go everywhere. You don't. Yeah, FOMO is real. I'm not gonna lie. It is. But so is the economic state of the world. It's real, real. So I might not be going out. If I know I have to pay for an Uber, I have to pay for an entrance fee, I have to do all these different things. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. It's really getting ghetto out here and I just can't afford to be going to everything. I can't. So I've been staying inside and I've been doing great. Let me tell you. Yeah, it's good. Life is good. Okay. I just think particularly on this note, I think getting more comfortable saying no in general, I think is something that I need to do. Because I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but like oftentimes when something shiny and new and perfect is put in front of us, we so want to say yes. But another thing my history teacher preached to us on our last day of class is, are you saying yes because it's cute and it's shiny and it's precious? Or are you saying yes because you genuinely want it? And she said, is this serving you? Is this good for you? Sounds very basic, but I'm like, wow, you're really preaching to me.
She's like, we just want to do a bunch of stuff. We just want to be cool. We just want to get with that person. But is this good for you? And I'm like, oh, yes, clocked. She said, I know this isn't good for you, right? You think it is, but it's not, right? So choose peace, because I need to choose peace. Anyways, we'll see how it gets soon. Let me just say, anyways, one thing I want to leave behind that I'm guilty of is not being fully present when I'm in places. I was really good about it last night. I don't think I touched my phone maybe like twice, right? When I was with my friend. I think it's so, so, so important to really prioritize the time that we have with each other. We're constantly, like, I think it's a little bit ridiculous if I'm sitting next to my friend and I'm sending her a reel. Why don't I just show her? Or why don't I just put my phone down? Like, I do think that's pretty ridiculous. And I think I've become so consumed in my phone. I hate to admit it, but I have. And now I'm just, like, using it all the time. And I'm like, I want to prioritize putting energy in the people that I have around me. And don't get me wrong, social media and technology is great. I think it's the reason that I'm able to connect with so many people. It's the reason I'm able to do this. But I think if I'm so consumed on this and not present in the actual moment, like, your relationships and your friendships will lose its authenticity and will lose its beauty, to be so honest. It will. And so I'm trying to make an effort to be more present and just physically engage with people rather than just socially. And I would encourage a lot of people to do that. I really want to kind of do like a summer detox. We'll get into that in a second. But I was thinking about it. We can do it together. Okay, lastly, I would say holding on to past labels. I think, like, for example, I would say I was a people pleaser. Not doing that anymore. And I think I decide that I no longer want to do that. I think also one thing that I just thought about was another label that I would have is that, like, I always like to argue. But I think it really was because I never really stood up for myself when I was younger. And I think because of that, now I'm a fiery 20-year-old that, like, will stand up for myself and other people. And I think I need to let go of those past labels of, like, quiet or people pleaser and stuff like that. And just truly let them die, because I think there's so much new things coming. I think I love spring because it's the time where so many different things blossom and all that stuff. But a lot of the work that happens in the spring actually starts happening in the winter. So it's not too late to get started. But I will say, like, a lot of the beauty and stuff that you see in summer and spring and stuff like that, it's because of the work that was put in the winter and the fall. That's why they say summer bodies are built in the winter. Right, you don't just wake up with a six-pack. It takes work, and it takes you being in the gym in the winter and in the fall to get to where you need to be. Anyways, I'm very excited for spring. I'm ready for new. I'm ready. Oh my gosh, everything is so pretty, and the flowers are blossom. Actually, I went on a hike 2 days ago, and it was a wildflower hike. There were no flowers. So I was really disappointed, but I guess they weren't in season, but I still had to pay to do the hike. Crazy. Okay, but I'm like, what am I paying for? I'm looking at dirt. Like, I'm really confused. Like, I get it, but I was a little bit agitated. So I will be going back when there's actually flowers. Because you're telling me I risked my life with the rattlesnakes and the mountain lions for there to not be any flowers? Right, okay. I could just go to Trader Joe's, but, like, I want to see it in nature. I want to see it in nature. So if anybody wants to take me to the flower fields, let's go. Let's look at some flowers. Anyways, I would say that is that. But here are some habits and stuff that I'm going to be bringing into the spring, right? Number one, clean space, clear mind. I think you are able to focus a lot when you have a very clean space. So I'm talking about physically cleaning your space. I did this yesterday. I already feel great. But there's some areas that I, like, try to reorganize, like my books. I'm literally looking at, like, 30 books right now just on my shelf. I don't need all that out. Put it away, right? I think my favorite organizing tips is if it doesn't serve me purpose in this moment, I don't need to see it right now. And so whether that's clothes, I went through, put a lot of my clothes away that I'm not going to use. I literally feel like I wear the same, like, 5 shirts in different colors or in the same color, like, there's not much variety in my wardrobe, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I think just going through and cleaning out my closet, there's a lot of pants, gave away 2 pairs of pants yesterday. I was like, I'm not going to be using these. I had to throw away some because they were completely ripped and I'd have them since I was in middle school. So it was time to let her go. Cleaning, just every aspect of your life. I think how you physically feel or how your room physically looks often mirrors how you feel. If I was in a mental, rutter and my room looked like it too, that makes sense, right? So physically clean your space and it'll help you clear your mind. Second, one that we don't do that often that I think we need to, is doing a digital detox, okay? This means you can unfollow people. I unfollowed a few people this past week, and let me tell you, life is good, right? Muting people. Maybe you're like, okay, I still care about them. They're still a part of my life, but I just don't need to see their content 24/7. Mute them. I think this allows us to create a feed that we love and that we don't feel drained when we're scrolling on. I think it'll just make us more happy. You're scrolling and you're seeing your friends, you're seeing people you love, seeing people who support you, you're seeing people who you support on your feed. That's what you want. You want beauty, you want peace, you want happiness on your social media platforms. But I think also clear your notes app. It really is a jump scare to be scrolling through trying to make my Trader Joe's shopping list and then seeing a gut-wrenching poem that I wrote. Like, let's create a space. You don't have to delete it because I think it is a part of who you are. But let me put it in a separate category because I can't be crying at 10 a.m. when I'm trying to go get my groceries. Like, I'm just trying to pick up some cottage cheese and eggs and I'm like, wait, what? When did I write this? No. Just put them in a separate category. Your photos, big, right? I'm sure we all are lacking storage typically. Start with your photos. There's stuff you don't, you have probably duplicates. There's an app that's like kind of like Tinder in terms of like swiping right or left that you do that with your photos. Download it. Don't remember what it's called, but download it before. It's like 3-day free trial, then delete it. Yeah. So make sure you're persistent with your photos and deleting all that stuff, but don't pay to delete photos on your own phone. That doesn't make any sense to me. Or just sit there and go through your 10,000 photos and delete ones that you don't want. A good thing is looking up, well, first labeling people's name. And then if you're somebody who you like, you do not talk to, they're not in your life anymore. And you're like, I don't need this on my phone. Maybe I'll move it to Google Photos. Just search up their name. Delete all the photos with them in there. Boom. That might be toxic of me. All right. I think another thing is like, we should be setting social media boundaries. I have a reminder that I've been on TikTok for an hour every single day that pops off. To be honest, I just click ignore. The reason why is because when the timer goes off, right, it will lock my TikTok and it'll say put in your password. But it says what the password is. It says your password is 1234 to be, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. But, oh well, right? It says your password is 1234. This is like TikTok prompting me, not me logging in. My TikTok password is not 1234. Don't try to hack me. But they'll be like, here's your password, 5678-1234. Put it in if you want to keep going, okay? Of course, I'm going to put in the password if you just told me what the password is right in front of my screen. But I mean setting actual boundaries. Like, I think there's a way that you can actually lock the app on which you have to go through settings and do a bunch of stuff in order to unlock it. We can do that for social media, and I will need to be doing that this upcoming spring. So I'll be implementing my social media boundaries, ensuring that I'm not on social media for that long because it can be draining. And it's beautiful outside, right? Let me get a book and go read because Reels is messy. That is all. Okay, next, an emotional deep clean. I talked about this, how healing, it takes time and it hurts sometimes, but we got to do it, right? We got to let go of past situationships, although I don't believe in those. Letting go of friendships or habits and stuff that honestly just aren't serving purpose in your life. Just like you do when you actually spring clean your house and you throw away clothes, or don't throw away, you donate clothes that you no longer need, or you throw away things that no longer serve purpose. I think we should do the same thing with different situations in our life. But I think one thing that helps is, honestly, I'll say it a million times, I'm a big fan of journaling. I journaled this morning, I did my devotion, and then I just did some like personal reflection. I think it just sets up your mind in a really great and positive mindset, and I think it's beautiful. I think, honestly, we talked about affirmations and identity and stuff like that. Like, journaling and writing things down, it's a great way to retain information. We know that in studying, in particular, writing down notes physically helps you. So I'm sure the same principle can be applied to writing down affirmations about yourself. Physically writing them and telling yourself it over and over again. Do you remember when it used to be a punishment when you did something bad, like to write the same sentence about 10 times? Or not 10. It was like on 10 pages of paper. What a waste. But I do remember that being a punishment. I don't think I ever had to do that. But hey, they are thinking psychologically that, hey, if I'm telling my kid that I will never do that again and I'm writing it 60 times, that they will never do it again. Who knows if that's true? Somebody let me know. But we can do that same thing when it comes to our affirmations and the way that we want to think about ourselves and life and all those different things. I think there's so much to be grateful for. There's so much joy. But I think our mind is honestly set on default to go to the negative. And I think choosing to physically write and remind yourself daily, whether it's through journaling or meditation or whatever you do, I think it'll help you a lot in terms of having a very beautiful blossoming spring. But on that note, I think music plays a big role in your mood. And so creating playlists, I've been really listening to like playlists that I was listening to one yesterday that's just like feels like spring. And it just feels like spring. Like, it's just so upbeat and happy and all these different things. And I think listening to that music really just sets the tone for my day. I think last year in particular, when I would walk into my classes, I would have a really good playlist on. And I'm like, I'm feeling good. I'm walking into this hall. Like, I'm ready to listen to this teacher. I'm ready to learn. I'm ready to do all these different things. And it was because that music set my mood. And so allow your music for the spring to set your mood. Are you into jazz hits? Are you into all these different things? I don't know. Define what makes you smile. I was thinking about music. The diversity of music is so interesting. I was going on that hike and we were carpooling and the driver was playing Lauryn Hill when we first left. And then we were listening to Lauryn Hill's album. And then we somehow went to heavy metal right after. And I'm like, wow, diversity. But I think, hey, whatever floats your boat, whatever feels like spring to you, go ahead and do it. But it was quite the transition. It was, but it, you know, and he was singing along to Bowl. So I was like, okay, yes. Yes, King. Okay. Last. I think we hear the whole soft girl era. I don't necessarily, whatever. Let me keep my opinions on that to yourself. But I think, honestly, a lot of the things that they do, like hot girl walks or hot guy walks. I don't know what you guys call it. I'm sorry. Hot person walks. I don't know. Anyways. I think, or reading and different things like that, that honestly just train your mind and your body. I think we have a privilege to be in the bodies that we're in. And I think treating it like such is something that's very important. And so that means feeding yourself with knowledge. I'm not talking about brain rot on your phone. I'm not talking about the news. I'm like, get a book, get a physical book and go sit in the park and read. Like, you deserve to learn more. You deserve to expand your mind. A lot of things, even in college, you're not going to learn if you don't read. You might pass, but I'm telling you, you're genuinely not going to learn to be the best that you can if you do not read. And I learned that the hard way. But I would say go on walks. Love the outdoors. Love getting my 10K steps in. Love all of that. And also just choose peace, right? There's something so scrumptious about putting on a good playlist, putting on your favorite Gymshark set, and grabbing a book and just walking around and then sitting on a bench and reading your book. There's just something so scrumptious about that combination, let me just tell you. And I would really encourage everybody to find what your scrumptious go-to combination is for that. But yeah, I would just say romanticize every day of your life, right? I had to wake up at 5:30 today. Oh, I do that every day because I have work. But let's pretend that that's beautiful. Let's pretend that I want to be doing that. Actually, I used to wake up at 5:30 last year and I didn't have work. So kudos to freshman year Lily because she was really killing it. Now I'm struggling. I'm literally struggling to get out of bed to get to work, to get on my computer. But I'm going to romanticize it, right? Whether it means I'm going to pick up my phone, I'm going to vlog, spend the morning with me as a second year college student, like whatever it needs to be, like romanticize your day to day. It'll make the tasks that seem so mundane, like feel much better. And also lastly, I would say, I think that we need to invest in whatever self-care looks like for us without spending money. Because I'm not spending $60 million on a skincare routine. I'm not. I'm sorry. It's not happening. I don't even think I will be spending that much money when I can afford that on a skincare routine. It's not happening. I think we can find self-care and do different things that make us happy and we're making sure that we're filling our cup without breaking the bank. Because money is tight for a lot of people right now. And I acknowledge that. You know what I have in front of me? What I did in between recording podcast episodes, I went to an event, an International Women's Day event, and they gave us these little like coloring books and mini color pencils. And I think the counseling center actually have these. This does not cost any money and it's making me so happy, so much peace. If I, after I'm done, put on a really good playlist and just do this, like I think my day will be made.
And it just allows me to slow down. And I really do appreciate it. I did Pilates a couple weeks ago. And I will be getting a membership. I know. Ridiculous. It costs an arm and a leg. So if anybody wants to, you know, fund my Pilates. I think it's, I've done mat Pilates before. But something about Reformer Man. I think just forcing yourself to slow down, I think is the biggest takeaway. If you get anything from this, is allow yourself to slow down. Like, I think spring is so beautiful and all these different things. And I think it really just allows us to slow down because we want to stop and look at everything. But I think one thing about Pilates, not to sound like a crazy person, but I literally think when I'm in the gym, it's like, lift heavy, do this off. Like, yeah, right? But when I'm in Pilates and I'm just able to just be like the, you're supposed to do slow and controlled movements. So when I'm doing these slow and controlled movements, I feel very empowered and I feel very strong. And I don't feel like I'm like lifting a tire because I'm not. And it's just great. And I think it's great for my mental health. Because also people in the gym are rude. I'm not going to get into it. But there was a situation a couple days ago. I'll keep that one to myself in the group chat. They heard about it. But anyways, in Pilates, I haven't had any rude people. So anyways, find whatever makes you slow down this upcoming spring. And allow yourself to just truly, truly enjoy it. But thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Remix Reality Podcast in record time. I told you it was going to be a short one. And I appreciate you guys. And I hope you enjoyed all these ins and outs of spring cleaning. I encourage you to physically do some spring cleaning because some of you guys' houses are dirty. I already know. But I can't wait to see you guys in the next episode. And yeah, I will see you guys later. Bye.